Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkins with and Greg Pickle, along with Todd Sadowski, our good friend from Fox 43. We're moving on from Penn State, Illinois, looking around the Big Ten and around the country. Not a lot of action, I would say, in the Big Ten. There's a couple things to touch on, but a really interesting weekend in national college football. Start with the Big Ten. And this Ohio State team that Penn State faces this weekend, they beat Tulane 49-6. Dwayne Haskins, 21 out of 24 for 304 yards and five touchdowns in the first half. So I think the question that comes out of this is, how far can Dwayne Haskins go? Is he a Heisman contender? How dangerous is he? This is a kid who's completing 75% of his passes, and this is not – an offense where he's just checking down again and again and again. He's making all the throws and he's completing a lot of them. I think for Penn State fans, he's the number one source of fear for them going into this weekend.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think if you look at what Ohio State's done so far, whether Ohio State has had Urban Meyer as its head coach or Ryan Day as its head coach, even they've been very consistent on offense. They have been able to, you know, take a step forward seemingly every single week when it comes to the evolution of their offense, whether it's passing, whether it's running. They got dangerous guys at every position on offense. Not much, you know, it's very similar to Penn State where there's guys that you would expect week to week would have more production than they do. But at the end of the day, guys, they are so dangerous on offense that they are able to do just about anything they want, whether it's, again, dominate through the air, dominate on the ground. It doesn't really matter. They get after it as well as they can, and it usually leads to good results. And Dwayne Haskins engineers a show.
Well, it's a good thing he's a senior and we don't have to worry about him for a while. Oh my gosh, this guy just, you know, it's no wonder people were calling for Haskins to play when JT Barrett was struggling a little bit. I mean, they knew what they had in this guy, and yeah, I mean, and the beat goes on, right, for Ohio State. This, he just steps right in, and you know, I remember seeing Braxton Miller run over around and past, and you know, a lot of people, and the scary part is this guy can, you know, it's almost like Tua Tagovailoa or whatever in Alabama.
That was pretty good.
Right? That this guy can throw the ball along with all the other things that, you know, Jalen Hurts was, you know, it's just like one of those situations. Jalen Hurts has a successful, you know, career going at Alabama, and all of a sudden this other guy who's even more talented comes in and can throw the football, and Haskins reminds me of that situation. So, yeah, it's a little scary. I will preface it by saying he hasn't played in a whiteout at Beaver Stadium at night. Strange things happen in this series at Beaver Stadium in a whiteout condition at night. And it's going to, you know, it's going to take 100,000 plus to get in his head a little bit. And we'll see how he performs on that stage. The TCU game, he looked great. It was in somewhat of a, I want to say neutral site, because yes, it was in TCU's backyard, but it wasn't on campus. It wasn't the same type of situation. So this will be his biggest test as well. And Dustin, you mentioned, is he one of the favorites for the Heisman? If he does what he's been doing to everybody else on Saturday night, you better believe he's going to be one of the favorites for the Heisman.
This will give shape to a lot of different things, especially the Big Ten race, the college football playoff race. You got two quarterbacks who are in the Heisman conversation. One will take a step forward. One will probably take a step back. I guess in the Heisman talk, both of these guys can, you know, looking at Haskins and McSorley, can have big days and still take steps forward. But the winner of this game, you know, there's a lot on the line, obviously. And it's interesting, the idea of playing early in the year and whether Penn State's got a couple tricks up its sleeve that it hasn't shown yet. I think they're going to need every trick that they can get in this one.
That includes defensively, too.
Yes.
I mean, you know, everybody's talking about offense and Tommy Stevens and the Lion and all that. And, I mean, you know, well, sure, I'd love to see a wrinkle there. It'd be fun to see that. But also defensively, I mean, do you let Micah Parsons loose, you know what I mean, on some stuff, a little bit more blitzes? And, you know, what kind of things are you going to throw at Haskins to try and confuse him? So, because they haven't had to do much against some of these other teams, and, you know, playing basic defense was part of the plan. I don't know.
Maybe there's not that much to lose there. Looking down the Big Ten a little bit more, Wisconsin 28, Iowa 17. Wisconsin down 17-14. They scored twice in the final minute. A 10-play drive late with a go-ahead touchdown. Got a Nate Stanley interception on the final drive. we knew Wisconsin was in the driver's seat in the Big Ten West. I think this was just another step in that direction. How about Purdue breaking through? They beat Boston College, who was ranked number 23 at the time, 30-13. This is a team that was knocking on the door. I think some hard luck losses, 31-27 Northwestern, 20-19 disappointing against Eastern Michigan. They lose 40-37 to Missouri before they break through for their first win. I think this Purdue team, there was, you know, 0-3 didn't really feel like 0-3 when it came to optimism versus pessimism. They break through for a win.
Yeah, here. Number one, that Wisconsin-Iowa game was painful to watch. I mean, that was Big Ten West football at its finest. Slow, boring, unexciting. I mean,
in prime time.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that they sold the TV rights for. I mean, I know the final score is 28-17, but it felt more like 10-7 when all was said and done. Now, Purdue's a team that's been knocking on the door here for a little bit. The offense really can hum under Jeff Brohm. Rondell Moore, the freshman, is just fantastic at receiver. I mean, this guy is a Big Ten Player of the Year written all over him. Maybe not this year, but down the road for sure, especially as the quarterback play continues at Purdue. So, yeah, I mean, this is a solid bunch that finally gets through with a win. You know, Steve Adazio's team was favored in this game by a touchdown, and a lot of people thought that, you know, they were going to be able to walk into Purdue and win easily, and it turns out you just don't walk into Purdue and win easily.
That was an important win for the Big Ten Conference too, to save face a little bit, because they took a beating the week before from a non-conference standpoint. So to get a win over a ranked opponent was kind of a big deal for the Big Ten, I thought.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Shotzi's Jumbo Brats. Whether you're tailgating at a game or having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats belong on your grill. They are supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats in football doesn't get any better than that. Check them out, shotzisbrats.com, or you can get them at the gopsurv.com tailgate lot as well. One other note here. Two notes. Let's put it this way. Nebraska loses 56-10 to Michigan a week after losing to Troy. It's another harsh reality that this Nebraska team, this is a tear down and rebuild job, and they're in the thick of it now.
The cupboard must be bare for Scott Frost, because obviously we saw what he did at UCF. And, you know, for Michigan's stake, and look, what Penn State fans were always thinking about, hey, how does this connect? How does this help? How does it hurt? Whatever. Those kind of wins, I mean, you want your ranked teams moving back up. I mean, at the beginning, you had five teams within the top 14. Oh, the Big Ten's this, the Big Ten's that. All of a sudden, you know, depending on what happens with Ohio State, obviously, if you beat Ohio State, you don't need to worry about what the other teams are doing. But if you were to lose, you want those other teams winning. You've got to get quality wins at some point. So, fortunately for Penn State down the road, Michigan's now back up to 14. Wisconsin's back up to 15. Michigan State moving ahead to 21. Because that Michigan State game, you know, you beat them. If they're not up in the top 20 somewhere and you beat them and knock them out of the rankings, all of a sudden at the end of the year, you're like, well, big deal. It was a home win against a team that's not even ranked. Well, you want wins over teams that are ranked, whether it's home or away. So, you know, it's important for these teams to keep crawling back up the rankings. And if I would have beat Wisconsin, I mean, Wisconsin, they just would have been out of nowhere at that point.
Yeah, I think the one thing with Michigan that's amazing to me is they put up 56 points. They had 491 yards of offense, just 200 through the air. I mean, they really hammered Nebraska on the ground. Scott Frost, I mean, look, they obviously have a lot to fix out there. The quarterback situation's an absolute mess. Everything's an absolute mess, but you can say what you want about everything they did at UCF and how they went about it. I think that at the end of the day, it led to expectations at Nebraska that were not realistic, that were not national championship. Because it still bugs me that the NCAA put that in the its record book that UCF won a national championship. No, it did not. And I just think that it set the expectations very high for what he's going to do at Nebraska. And it might take longer than everybody wants for him to be able to turn things around. I don't doubt he's a great coach, but this is embarrassing yet again. And it's only probably going to get worse. The schedule doesn't get much easier.
Speaking of embarrassing,
let me guess where you're going with this one.
What are we going to do with Rutgers here?
Demote them.
So they go to Kansas. They lose 55-14. And then they play Buffalo this past week at home.
As a 6-point underdog.
Rutgers was a 6-point underdog? Yeah. So that's another testament there.
Yeah. And it was justified.
Then they don't even come close to covering. 42-13. Buffalo is 4-0 now. That's worth saying. But yeah. I really felt like not it's a very large, broad corner, but I thought Rutgers might be taking steps to turn the corner last season, and I just don't think you can say that. And you look down at the schedule, it's possible that they don't win another game here. They got opportunities at home against Indiana and Illinois. After that, you know, this there is a chance that Rutgers is 1-11 this year.
One step forward, five steps back for Chris Ash. And I always feel bad when I'm at Big Ten Media Days and he comes up there and makes a 2-minute statement and then nobody asks him any questions. Everybody's finishing off their lunch or they're going to the restroom or whatever they're doing and they come back.
Do you think he feels slighted or relieved?
Well, I think at this point we're not going to have to worry about Chris Ash potentially at next year's Big Ten Media Days, ignoring him. I don't know. We'll see. But wow, I mean, you just can't take thrashings like that against non-cons that, you know, aren't.
Those are two shocking non-conference losses.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is for Rutgers is that you can keep changing coaches, but it's not going to stay. It won't make your program any more stable. And I think the biggest issue right now is that they have been, you know, not recruiting well, which leads to bad teams, which leads to unwinnable situations for coaches. I don't know what the answer is. They changed quarterbacks. That didn't matter. You know, I know Sadowski, whatever his name is. Yeah,
his name's Todd Sadowski.
Yeah, well, that's our guy.
Arthur.
We're not changing our guy. We're not changing our
guy. I have one of the easier Polish names. You guys should be thankful. There's some brutal ones out there.
There are. But, you know, you look at him, Sadowski, 6 of 13, 39 yards. They bench him. They go to the other kid. He was a little bit better, but this team just stinks at the end of the day. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, you lose to Kansas, and then you lose at home to Buffalo.
This team stinks. That's the hard-hitting analysis you come to us for. Let me just I thought we'd have more time. Let me just rattle off some of the more national storylines. 0-3 Old Dominion goes to Virginia Tech, wins 49-35. This is a team that lost to Liberty 52-10 in its opener. Stanford came back to beat Oregon. Weird little swing there that Oregon had a touchdown wiped off the board. Then they give up a scoop and score. Fumble return touchdown, end up losing it in overtime. Oklahoma survives Army 28-21 in overtime. Army held the ball for 44 minutes and 41 seconds in that game. They did that ball control thing, which is what you always worry about against them. Joe Moorhead lost his first game at Mississippi State 21-7. I think that Kentucky team he lost to is pretty legit, though. They're 4-0 coming off wins over Florida and Mississippi State. Brandon Wimbush, the former Penn State commit, benched for Notre Dame. They beat Wake Forest 56-27. I don't think he's getting his job back. I would suspect we see a grad transfer coming for Brandon Wimbush as long as that's the case. Texas upset TCU. That's a team that Ohio State had to fight off a couple weeks ago. Alabama 45-23 over Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M. After that game, Nick Saban's begging the media to cover Alabama's weaknesses. I just think it's hilarious that he's going to make that plea. Anyway, okay, that was a minute in a nutshell there, college football. Moving on, Ask Greg, your Penn State football questions answered. Come after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.